Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the word. Give us the Spirit to understand, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, so that we may know what you want us to know and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I want to thank God for this opportunity to stand before him and before you to share his word. He's been wonderful to us. God is so wonderful all the time.
Amen.
He makes us, you know, survive the circumstances. And even when, when the circumstances show us that here we are done, somehow we find we have gone over. That's to his glory.
Amen.
All the time. God is gracious.
Amen.
I remember last time when I stood here, we talked about the just shall live by faith. You remember that? Yeah. Whoever was here last time preached. And we will continue on the same theme. This time we are dealing with this only one gospel. This only one gospel. And as we read from Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, please stand with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. No other gospel. So, I hope you are there. You have books opening. Writing to the Galatians, the churches in Galatia, and this is his letter. Before we read verse 6, you will see verse 1. Paul says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ. And God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a strong message right there. Paul, who was called Saul earlier, who was so zealous to go out and kill those who are called Christians. He was such strong in Judaism. But when he meets Christ Jesus on his way to Damascus, he's touched. And he is no longer Saul. He is Paul. This time, an apostle. So strong that he declares, nobody has sent me. No man in Jerusalem, nor did I go to Jerusalem to consult the other disciples. No man, no man. But the gospel I want to present to you, Paul says, is by revelation from God. And he has revealed it to me. And this is what it is. This gospel is about his son, Jesus Christ, and him crucified, and how he becomes a savior for all the world. This is the message. And what you need to do to be saved, well, it says, it's not by your actions. Number one, it's what Christ, our God, does in his son, Jesus Christ. This is the truth.
Amen.
And this is the gospel.
Yes.
And this is what he presented to the Galatians when he went to their fiscal. He preached Christ Jesus and him crucified. There's a difference. What the devil does to Jesus Christ on the cross does not save us. You know what he does? Okay, I like response. What does the devil do to Christ Jesus on the cross? What does he do? Mike.
Kills him.
He kills him. What does he do? Yes. Something else. What does he do? He nails him, right? So, were the Jews who crucified Jesus helping God in our salvation? You believe that? When he's crucified, and they nail him, and they kill him, they beat him, is this that's what saves us? What's the difference then? That's not the gospel. There are two things happening on the cross. God is doing something else, and the devil is doing another thing. You know, the devil in heaven, he wanted to take over. And he wanted even to slaughter and kill and maim Christ the Lord. And his space was not found in heaven. It was thrown off. And when he came here, although the gospel had been preached to Adam and Eve, they again listened to the voice of this old serpent. And that's how we find ourselves in this fallen, sinful nature. But God does not stop there. He has a plan. The devil has not stopped there even when he's here. He continues to look for Jesus and kill him. Remember, when he is born, what does the devil do? Through Herod, he says, kill every son, every person who is born here. Kill. Kill. And where is his son, Jesus hidden? Where was he hidden? Where was he? In Egypt, right? In Africa. Not Africa, up there. They hide and they want to hide him there because the devil is looking for him. Every time, the devil is looking for you and me because we profess, we confess that the Lord Jesus is our Lord.
Amen.
And it's not helping. But when the devil took Jesus and then nailed him, this is not what serves us. God is doing something else. In fact, God, the sins of the world are so heavy that if they completely and separate Christ Jesus, like really eternal death, God takes all the sins of the whole world. That's why Christ Jesus is born as a human being. He's our brother. And he shares in our flesh. Though he has not sinned, all the incarnation story. God is doing something through the incarnation. And God is something doing something on the cross. And that's what saves us now. Those sins that are heaped on him makes him, the Bible says, he bleeds blood. Right? Comes in the Garden of Gethsemane. What happens there? Who is that I see bleeding blood? Why? Even before the devil crucifies him. This is a strong message right there. So it is God who is saving us through what he does in his son Jesus Christ on the cross. And not by the suffering he goes through. Yes, he goes through the sufferings. But that's the devil doing it. The devil wants to kill Jesus and he nails him. He's crucified. This is the message Paul preached to Galatia, the churches in Galatia. And they received this message strongly. As soon as he went away, something happens. In verse 6, I am astonished, Paul writes, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And that's why the title of this sermon is Only One True Gospel. It's only one true gospel.
Amen.
What were these guys doing? After Paul had preached and gone away, they said, no. The message of the cross is can't be that simple. God is not just saving you like that. Paul is not telling you the right thing. Yes, Jesus Christ died for you. That's a good message. But also you need to be circumcised. You need to do A, B, C, D in order to be saved. This is a no gospel. No gospel at all. This is the wrong gospel, which is no gospel. So, in other words, as present Christians, we are challenged by the call to come up and accept the Lord Jesus by faith. And this is what preached us, Christ our righteousness.
Amen.
And it is justification by faith only that saves us. In verse 7, he says, which is really no gospel. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one who preached you, let him be eternally condemned. As we already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Wow. That's a strong message right there. When we stand before God and listen and speak, we need to pray for the spirit of discernment to understand what the preacher said. Is he preaching? You need to do something to be saved or say, okay, God has done everything, and whatever works that come out of you are works of that salvation that you have received, and what works to save you. Let us rest from all of our labors. Let us relax and have joy in the Lord. Amen. Because he has saved us.
Amen.
Amen.
So that we are free.
Amen.
So that we don't fear. You know, he says, you don't know the spirit of fear.
Yeah.
There is joy when we come to God in honest faith. There's joy and freedom. And when you come to that realization, you are free.
Right.
And then you have something to tell others.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to go and tell people the do's and the don'ts of the Seventh Day Adventist Church. Tell them about Christ Jesus and Him crucified, and He has saved you. And those do's and the don'ts. You know, the Holy Spirit in you will guide you not to do those undos and our undoes.
Amen.
That's the message. You know, the pure gospel was preached to Adam and Eve when they sinned and they're running away and hiding themselves from God. But God in His mercy, God in His graciousness, or in His grace, comes and looks for them and asks them, where are you? Adam, Eve, where? But you know, we found ourselves naked. We were hiding ourselves. Who told you you were naked? In His mercy, He tells them, you know what? Okay, the ship dies, and here is the cloth. Put on the cloth. And that's the gospel right there. You know, because of this ship who is done, because of the clothes that I'm giving you, this is His character, which you are now putting on, you shall live again.
Amen.
That's the gospel right there. But this gospel is preached also to Abel and Cain in Genesis chapter 4. And one accepts the gospel, another one does not accept the gospel. One brings the offering and the sacrifice, which also again points to Lord Jesus, who is now by faith. Abel offers the sacrifice. Cain says, no. Okay, I will come in my own way. He brings all that sacrifice. His sacrifice is different. Note that the sacrifice of the fruits in the all that he brought was bad. Later on, those who were poor in the Jews in history, they used the same things to come before the Lord with all those who didn't have the sheep or the rams and all of that. But the spirit that the motive in Cain was contrary to the spirit that God had told them what to do. And God accepts Abel's sacrifice by faith. You know, in Hebrews, if we turn to Hebrews, stand with me to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 4. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Oh, even though Abel is dead, by faith, that's what he speaks. He offered a better sacrifice. That's not the end. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the gospel is again preached through Noah. And Noah preaches righteousness by faith to the whole world. Let's read it there again. Verse 7 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Hey, church! You understand what's being said there? By faith, he condemns the world. By faith, he becomes the heir. You know, in Africa, the sons, and even in Israel in those times, the sons, all the children, the firstborn and the second, all were heirs of their father, the family property. And more so, I'm talking about sons. In America, because of equality, a son and a daughter is all right. In Israel and in Africa, it's not the same. People struggle to have a son. A son who will, you know, be a heir. The girls will go and they will have sons out there. But you want, you know, the sons remain with the parents at home. They expect to take care of their parents in old age. And therefore they are heirs of all the blessings and all the property. But you know what? We are heirs of the righteousness.
Amen.
That comes by faith.
Yeah.
This is what God is saying. And then Noah preached this message too. The message of this one gospel. Justification by faith.
Yes.
In the doing of God, not in our doing.
Right.
And therefore, when we take this gospel, this message, word message, the news of the gospel, which is preached to all the world in Revelation chapter 14. The angels go out and they preach what? The everlasting gospel. This gospel is about you and me, about how we have been welcomed to the home of glory. It's telling you, come, come, come. It's preached to all the world, all the world. It's preached in Africa, it's preached in the West, in America, it's preached in Asia, East, everywhere. This is the message. That Christ has died for you and me. Just come as you are. Don't worry whatever, in what condition you are in. Because all have fallen and have come short of what? The glory of who? Of God. And therefore, there's nothing good they can do on their own to save themselves. So we thank God, which brings something good in His sight. When we come like that, He brings a change in each one of us again. He does not deliver us the way we are. Don't just try to change yourselves. Come before God. He's calling everybody who is tired. Sometimes I'm very tired. And we need rest, you know.
Amen.
I went through a very difficult semester at Purdue University. Well, I'm doing a doctoral pharmacy program, and this intense, heavy, bad. And on this Monday, I'm going back. After 3 weeks of resting, I felt so good to rest. Rest is good.
Yes.
Yeah. And we need it. So he invites us to spiritual rest.
Right.
Come, all you who are so heavy laden with so many things. And I will give you what?
Rest.
Rest. You will need to come so that He gives us the rest. The resting that that makes us stop from working our own salvation. Stop! Stop working your own salvation. Because Christ is doing what? He has done it for you.
Amen.
Right.
So what does it mean then? Work your salvation with trembling. The Bible says that, right? Yes. Align yourselves in the doing of the Lord. And this is working with trembling. Align yourself. Don't come against. Coming against is coming like Cain. He comes with his own way of saving himself. For sure, he promises rest. We need to rest in his own doing.
Right.
And when we have come the way we are, whatever condition you are in, he is God. He knows what to do to make you go that path where you need to go. And that's walking by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And that is called sanctification. Everyday life. You know, he brings us justification, all of us. For God so loved the world that whosoever he loved the world, number one, gave his only one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. That if we respond to this message, if we respond to God's doing, if we respond to this gospel, that Christ has died for you and me, then we shall not perish. There's a promise right there. We will have eternal life. Yes. It's a promise. It does not stop there. This gospel was preached to Abraham. You know, Abraham is called God. The closest thing is like when I and most of us moved to America. We were leaving our people, our friends, our everything. Yes, my son, thank you. This son, we call him Emmanuel because we pray God give us a son. You know, in Africa, a son is very important, okay? See, it brings me one.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So we prayed God to give the son. And he gave us a son. God gave us our two daughters. And no, at the time when I was wedding Cecilia in Kisses Central Church, I had my plans, my own plans. I wanted like two sons and then one daughter. So, let me tell you, we didn't even get the first daughter easily. Because we struggled, we were crying like, Lord, give us a child, and child. So, God gave us a girl and a girl, and then we thought, oh God, we surrender now. It's not my plans, it's your plans. Give us a son, you know? And so we call him Emmanuel. God has to remind us that it is God who gives, you know?
Yeah.
And that's in line with what I'm talking here. I came to learn faith, believing in God. Sometimes we are born in situations where we find ourselves in certain situations that are so strong that it is, even we make it so difficult for Christ God to save us, you know, to help, to bring us until you come to certain situations which are difficult. Then you realize you are not in control.
Right.
Who is in control? God is in control. When you come to that realization, life is easy. Not that you will not struggle, but you know in whom you trust.
Amen.
And therefore, you know that he will carry you through.
Amen.
So Abraham struggles to have a child, a son. to inherit, you know. And it becomes a big problem for him. Even when God tells him, go, move, he goes. Just like we moved to America. We left our everything. And we came, not by faith. We moved. We want a green card and said, America is a good country, we want to go to. Let's go. But when you come, life is not easy. It makes me go back to school. I already went through school. I was running my own pharmacy in my country. We left everything. And we came. We left our parents. Why did we come? Nobody knows. Many people ask me, why did you come anyway to America? But you know, in Acts chapter 17, read with me in Acts chapter 17. Verse 24, Acts chapter 17, verse 24, Paul is in Athens, Greece, and he's talking about the unknown God, and he's talking this, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heavens and earth, and it does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Verse 26. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men should seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. That could be the nearest reason why I'm here. I came to believe that probably he sent me here so we can share this good news with you. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. And stand out there and take this gospel out here. That he determines the boundaries in that verse. He determines the exact places where you shall live. You're not here by chance.
Amen.
Yes. Right here. You're not here by chance. In Indianapolis. In this church. He has sent you to share this gospel in this area at this time. So you have a message to pass on. And this is the message which was preached to Abraham. By faith, in Hebrews 8, 11 verse 8 says, read with me, Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and the builder is God. Which city should we look for? Chicago? Hey, kids, children, which city should we look for? What's the best city to live in America? You know, tell me. Huh?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Wow, that's the pure. Los Angeles. I think it's not good to go there.
Yes.
Which is the best city?
Portland, Oregon.
Huh? Indianapolis?
Dallas.
Dallas! Right. Wow. So, already we all need a vote. So we know which is the best, because we have more than one. If it was just one, sorry. But now automatically we need to go into a vote to know what's the best city. The question will be like, what is the best in that city? That's now a little more. What's the best? The gospel was so wonderful in that city. What's good in that city? Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, Indianapolis. Wow. But look at the city Abraham is looking for. Let me read again. 4:10. For that's Abraham. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect. You know who's an architect?
Yeah.
You will easily be challenged to think it's who is the architecture or architecture. It's the architect. Architect. In British English, which I'm well versed in. Architect. Who is that?
A designer.
So a city whose engineering work, the designing work, who is the designer, who is the architect? Abraham wanted by faith. A city whose architect and the builder is God. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the city we need to look for.
Right.
That's the city. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. Because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And when God makes the promise, that promise for sure stands. Amen?
Amen.
He tells him, you know what? You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. Your own son. And he takes him through the process to believe. Sometimes even Sarah's like, you sleep at the angels, right? They don't know what they're saying. Look at my skin. My grandmother was old enough and she grew old skin and it comes up, right? And then he releases it and tells me, you young man, you're wonderful. But look. Okay. Sarah, I think that's how she was doing like that. What are they saying? Look at them. But they face him. They face her, and they tell her, why are you laughing? You know? Who is promising? God. And you know what? Time passes, and they try on their own way to have a son. And whom do they get? Abraham and Sarah. They get the son through Hagar. What's the name of this son?
Ishmael.
Yes. This is the works. They are only words. That's the difference. Words doing something else. And that's the gospel, right?
Right.
He's given them a son. And the son, his name is Isaac. But in between, they struggle with the promise. And God means like, he's going to give us so long. We are grown old. And anyway, we are already old. And let's try. And Sarah comes and says, you notice after the promise, Hagar is here. Let's have a son. That's how polluted the works of our salvation look like. That's close. I want you to I want us to understand what I'm saying here. They get the son Ishmael amidst the promise. The promise of God, you will get your own son. I'm going to give you a son. They struggle with this promise. Sometimes we struggle with promises. You know, God teaches Abraham one important thing. Remove the flesh. He goes, he's circumcised. And it means stop the works of your own salvation. Relax. Abraham, relax. I'm going to fulfill all these promises. Relax. Have faith in me.
Right.
And when it comes to the time to offer the son, Abraham is so well versed in the gospel. And he says, yes, son Isaac, let's go. Here's the fire. Here's everything. Let's go. And everybody, when Isaac asks, Father, we have everything. One thing is missing. Where is the ram? And Abraham does not falter or answer like, well, he says, who is going to provide? God will provide.
Amen.
And that's the gospel right there.
Right.
And we trust in God and know he will provide.
Amen.
Not just material, not financial, not just healthy, wise. He has already provided his son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's going to carry you through this journey.
Yes.
And soon we shall see him coming in his glory.
Right.
And by faith, we are inheriting the land. Amen?
Amen.
By faith, move forward.
Amen.
All of these people moved forward by faith. And this is the righteousness that comes by faith. We are freely justified in Christ Jesus. We are sanctified every day by faith, walking with Jesus, walking with God. The Holy Spirit is right here, taking us through the journey, changing every time. And we bear fruit, you know? We bear fruit. We bear fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The works that we do are not the works that save us. These are the works that are evident of our faith in hope. God.
Right.
So when you are hospitable, when you are obeying the law, you are not doing like what legalism did through the Israelites, who finally did not believe in God, some of them. They rather turned to their own way of legalism. They were legalistic. In other words, they were finding their own way of salvation. They had works. They set rules. They were different to God themselves. That's not what we are called to. We are called to one gospel, that of believing in Christ Jesus and in him crucified. And then by faith we move forward. There will be struggles. There will be wars in our lives. Does not promise us a cup of, is it bread and tea here, you say? It's not as easy as bread and, is it bread and tea or butter? Something like that. But we believe that in Christ Jesus, everything is possible.
Amen.
Let's move forward by faith. Let's move forward by faith. Let's move forward by faith.
Amen.
And therefore, as I close, salvation by grace is identifying ourselves with the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is publicly confessed by baptism. The waters of baptism, right there.
Amen.
Right. When we believe that Christ has come for you, has died for you, and is coming for you, you are ready to go into the waters. This is where we need to reach before we are baptized, actually. Even if we are baptized before that, we need to learn that and know and move forward. That God is doing everything to save you and me. He has done it. He is doing it, and he will do it.
Amen.
In the future. Because he justifies us in Christ Jesus, past history. He sanctifies us right now, changing us. Because come as you are, and I'm changing you. And as I change you, And as you grow, I'm coming in my glory. That is glorification that we are waiting for. He's coming. All this in Hebrews chapter 11, all of them died. Why? Having not made the actual promise, the promise of that city. But they look forward. The Bible says somewhere else by a time, it will tell us that they rested in order for us to be together with them. And then we go together. Amen?
Amen.
We are going. And this is a good message, the gospel. We know where we are coming from, we know where we are, and then we know where we are God. And that is the blessed hope of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We have this message. And this is the message we need to pass to the whole world. So, Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is not simply joining a denomination. Christianity is, at its very foundation, is participating in Jesus Christ. May God help us know of this one gospel, the gospel of justification by faith, the gospel that was preached to all our ancestors, and is being preached right now, and it will be preached in the near future before Jesus Christ comes, that He is doing everything for you and me. Come as you are, and let Him rule and be Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God's my Savior,
this gospel as we sojourn in this world, that we may share this gospel, the good news of the everlasting gospel, of your doing, of your salvation, and pass it over to the whole world. Thank you for your people in this church. They love you, God. We love you. And we thank you because of what you have done. May you give us the peace that surpasses understanding, that we may be strong and grow in faith and move on and see the justification by faith that you bring in your Son. Bless us as we go now. Bless us throughout the week. Defend us, protect us, and lead us throughout. Thank you because you are the Lord and you are God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.